Please take your Bibles and turn with me in them. First, in the New Testament, to the Gospel account of Matthew, chapter 12. Begin reading at verse 22. It's found on page 1038 in the Pew Bibles. Matthew 12, beginning at verse 22. Children, as we read this, listen to where Jesus speaks of someone binding someone else that comes into what we'll read from the book of Revelation. First, Matthew 12, beginning at verse 22, people of God, hear now the very words of God. Then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him, so that the man spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Can this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons." Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed, he may plunder his house." Now let us turn to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 20. It's found on page 1326 in the Pew Bibles. Revelation 20, we'll read the entire chapter. Our focus, though, will be on the first six verses. First six verses of Revelation chapter 20. "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer, until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. As far the reading of God's holy word. Congregation, people of God, this evening is what we commonly call Ascension Day, the day when we remember when Jesus ascended bodily into heaven. This event occurred 40 days from Easter, the day when Jesus rose from the dead. And it's 10 days from Pentecost, the day when Jesus from heaven poured out the Holy Spirit upon the church, his church. Think about that wonderful event of the ascension, the glorious fact that there is a human being in heaven, body and soul in heaven. A human being doing what humans were created by God to do, to rule. Yet what we humans refused to do rightly when Adam rebelled against God at the beginning of time. Today, though, we focus on some of the effects of Jesus' ascension into heaven, his ruling in heaven. We do so by going to the book of Revelation, to chapter 20. Now, of course, it'd be worthwhile to study the entire book of Revelation, which shows us the triumph of the Lamb of God, which shows us that we are more than conquerors, we, the saints, a message centered on the reality of the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus into heaven. Tonight, we're just going to draw attention to a few verses from this chapter. Now, this book of Revelation, it's not a book of history like Genesis is. Instead, it's a vision. And therefore, we must understand what we read in Revelation as a vision. Something we should not understand literalistically as though we were seeing it with our earthly eyes play out in space and time. Because then we will miss it. Even from the few verses we read here, we can see that this book is something different. As we call a different genre, a different way of reading it, and we are to read it from that perspective and not just bare history. And we understand this because, well, what did we read? We read of a dragon. John saw a dragon there. We read of a bottomless pit. We read of John seeing souls. Can't see that with our earthly eyes. I read of a beast, of a type of resurrection, 1,000 years. If this were a historical book, well, we'd take it at face value, like Genesis, wouldn't we? Like Matthew, as really and truly and actually telling us what would happen, even if the things in it were amazing. Because after all, we believe that God created the earth, the heavens and the earth, in 6 days, 6 real days, evening and morning, one day right after the other. We believe Jesus was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. We believe in real miracles. We believe Jesus bodily rose from the dead on the third day. We believe Jesus bodily ascended into heaven. We wholeheartedly believe the miracles in the Bible, without reservation, without any doubt at all, because those are presented to us as something we are to believe in a historical way. But this book is different. And especially this chapter, this 20th chapter with the millennium. Now, the visions the Apostle John saw as recorded in this book, they don't follow a strictly chronological order like the days in Genesis 1, 2, 3. You know, even, in fact, some histories don't always do that. Genesis itself, a historical book, but Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, there's kind of a review there, and even the genealogical list there. How much more Revelation? Presents the message of the triumph of the Lamb of God, presents the message that we, the saints, are more than conquerors. But it does so through a series of visions, some focusing on earth, some focusing on heaven. Some focusing on one enemy of God and some focusing on a different enemy of God. But all of them come together, all converge at the final point, the final victory of Jesus over all enemies. The final enemy being death. As the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. The final victory then is the resurrection, the second resurrection. Revelation is a thrilling book. Very comforting to us as saints throughout time, but especially as we feel the oppression of the world, the flesh, and the devil, because it gives us the big picture. It draws our eyes to see our ruling, our conquering King Jesus, and it brings out that the realities of the suffering we have here in this life, they're real. But also, there's blessing. Great blessing. Yes, in this life, but especially after. And when Jesus returns. And so it's very fitting to see this on Ascension Day, the day Jesus ascended into heaven, sitting on God's throne, being the one through whom God rules all things. We see here from this chapter that Christ bound Satan, and he exalts saints. He bound Satan, and he exalts saints. And first we consider briefly these first three verses that Satan is restrained. Satan is restrained. Listen again, verses 1 and 2. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. We see here a messenger of God, an angel. We think, what greater messenger of God, what greater one being who has come down from heaven than God himself, than Jesus. Jesus, who declared in chapter 1 of this book of Revelation that he holds the keys of death and Hades, who now has the key to the bottomless pit. Jesus, who told in what we read from Matthew, referring to the binding of a strong man. What does this vision tell us now? But Satan is bound, that ancient serpent, the devil. Jesus ascended into heaven, and he now exercises all authority. And he does that even over the devil, over all creatures. Yes, these three verses are not so much, though, about the devil as they are about Jesus. And what is clear is that Jesus, this angel John sees, he's strong. He's powerful. He's able to bind the devil. Which one here can do that? Can we do that in our strength? No. But Jesus has. He's conquered. He restrains the evil one. He is. He said in Matthew, he's bound the strong man, and he's plundering his house. In fact, our reading in Matthew helps to explain even more this vision in Revelation. For Jesus says Satan is bound such that the devil can't prevent Jesus from doing his mission, from casting demons out of people, from healing them of their demonically induced impediments, whether muteness, blindness, whatever it may be. Jesus even said there in Matthew 12, verse 28, if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom has come. The kingdom of God has entered into our world with the coming of the King of the kingdom, the Son of God, Jesus. So in understanding Revelation 20 rightly, we must know what Jesus has done. And his work is not limited to exorcisms, to casting out demons, physical healings. But the gospel accounts all make clear that the high point of Jesus' work is his suffering and death on Golgotha's cross and his resurrection on the third day. Now, that was an event that was unexpected by all mankind. Even many of those who were waiting for the kingdom of God were looking for a kingdom to come in what they thought was earthly power, earthly glory, much as, well, they could see the exorcisms, they could see the miracles, right? But what man did not realize, what even the church was not expecting, was that the power of the kingdom of God wasn't simply in ridding Satan from the earth, but it would be in renewing creation itself. That can only be done if the cause of death and creation was resolved, if sin was paid for. And Jesus paid for the sin of his people. He suffered and he died on the cross. when he offered up himself voluntarily as an atoning sacrifice, offered up himself in our place for us, for all those who believe in Jesus, giving his blessed body to be broken, his precious blood to be shed for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. And the third day he rose from the dead, bringing the reality of the new heavens and earth into our world. And then he ascended. So Jesus has brought the kingdom of heaven. He has ushered in a new age for man, one of righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit, the bringing of that kingdom. Something new has happened. Something momentous, to put in the words of Revelation 20, with this angel coming down from heaven. Jesus himself said to his disciples after he was transfigured on the mount, the kingdom has come, and it's come in power. Now we know these facts, right? We agree with them, we're convinced of them, but are you and I entrusting ourselves daily to Jesus? To the one who has worked all this? How does this impact our life? Are we living as though the kingdom of heaven has not come? Are we living as though the world thinks, as the world expects? Are we valuing what the world values, earthly might and power? Do we act in petty and sinful ways like the world acts? This message, this reality of Jesus, what he has done, says don't act that way. The end of the ages is already upon us. A great angel has come down. We are to cry out to forgiveness and say, Lord, forgive me, renew me, change me. There is full, there is true forgiveness for all those who entrust themselves to Jesus. There is deliverance from Satan and all his oppression. The kingdom is already here in power. We don't have to wait. Don't ignore it either. This power is shown in Revelation 20 by the angel who comes down from heaven and binds the serpent, the dragon, the devil. And such had never been done before in the history of mankind. But Jesus did it. He possesses the Spirit of God without measure. And as he said in Matthew, the power of the Spirit, he casts out the devil, he restrains him. Look at what happens with this binding of Satan in verse 3. And threw him into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. See, not only is the devil bound, but he's thrown into a pit and the pit is shut and sealed over him. There's no getting out. Doesn't matter what the devil wants to do. He's not in control. He's been bound. And what is this binding? Well, it tells us, this binding, shutting, sealing there, verse 3, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer. Not while he's bound. Before Jesus, before the pouring out of the Spirit on Pentecost, Satan held almost the whole world in darkness. He deceived them into worshiping idols, false gods, young people, young adults. You read of those in the religions of the world that are ancient and still many continue to this day. Satan oppressed them. He challenged the true worship of God by this idol worship. It was only in Israel where there was a true religion. And even then it shone dimly, always pointing ahead to the coming Messiah, to the coming of this angel from heaven. With the coming of Jesus, things have changed. John sees that vision. The truth goes out to the ends of the earth. Christ sent forth his apostles. Now his ministers, missionaries go forth to the uttermost parts of the world. Even now the word of God continues to be translated into the many dialects of the nations, with at least some of the scripture to be able to be read and heard by every person in the world, perhaps in the next 15 years. Think of that. We're in the year 2022. They estimate that about in the next 15 years, every person on earth will have some portion of the Word of God in some language they understand. That's amazing. The devil is bound. The devil is bound. Whereas before Christ, darkness covered the face of the deep, Now the Spirit of God has been poured out, and He goes forth over the world, and working with the Word, He extends the kingdom of heaven to its farthest reaches. Whether that be in North Korea, or no matter what the dictator wants, God has His people. Whether it be here, you and I gathered here this evening are proof that Christ restrained Satan, because we're not Jews, and yet we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. Praise Jesus. This period then of Satan being bound, do we read it? It's for 1,000 years, the end of verse 2. 1,000 years. That's where that word millennium comes from. Children, as you're learning math, you'll understand that 1,000 is 10 times 10 times 10. 10 is considered a number of completeness, and so 1,000 being a very large number, a combination of three numbers of completeness, symbolizes perfection, completeness. During the millennium, when Satan is bound, the church expands, and the elect are brought into it in order to complete the plan and the purpose of God on this earth. From the perspective of that blessedness of the binding of Satan, this is a long time. But it's not forever. The millennium will not last to the very last second of the end of this age. There is a brief time, a little while, the end of verse 3, where Satan will be released. Verse 7 and following tell us that after Satan's release, there will come intense persecution for the church, which will be ended with the second coming of Jesus, the coming when time, as we know it, will end. And all the dead will be judged, and the new heavens and the new earth will commence in their fullness. The principle, the reality, are already present. It's been inaugurated. It's been begun with the resurrection of Christ. It's already here. But the fullness isn't here yet. It's not yet here. It's not yet consummated, completed. So we live in this time between the times. When the two ages of man overlap, the age of sin and death, and the age of life in the Spirit. We live in this time of overlap, for Christ died and has been raised and ascended. And we already now partake of His righteousness, His eternal life, but we've not yet received the fullness of it as Christ has. Although Christ has been raised, we obviously look around. We're not yet. We still suffer, don't we? Sickness, even death. We're reminded of that this past week, weren't we? In our country, very much. Although the dawn of renewal has come in Christ's resurrection, the cosmos itself has not been renewed. This is the time. This, though, is the millennium. We live in it. And Satan is bound, though. Gospel is going forth. We still face many foes, many persecutions. Again, each one of us must contend with death, but the Word of God goes forth. You have it in your language. We have it in our homes. We carry it with us on our phones. And God is bringing men and women, boys and girls, into His kingdom. Satan is restrained. But there's also something more here, not just about Satan, but also about our blessedness. We see verses 4 through 6, Satan's restrained and the saints reign. The saints reign. Now Jesus said in Matthew 12 that He is driving out demons. He did that 2,000 years ago. Jesus said in verse 28 again, "If it is by the Spirit of God I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." He has brought the kingdom of heaven. He's extending that, and He's bringing you, brought us into it. Satan is bound. And the possessions of Satan's house are being carried off as souls are being delivered from the darkness of Satan's deceptions, from sin, brought into the kingdom of God. When our eyes are open, we see so much darkness in the world, don't we? We say, "Why, our unbelieving neighbor, can't you see? Can't you understand? Don't you see sin leads to death? Don't you see the foolishness here?" Why? Because God's changed your mind. He's given you a new heart. Deceptions of Satan, He's removed from you. The unbelieving world is not seeing that rightly. But you and I do by God's grace. Jesus reigns over all. His word is spreading. Now, the world still fights against Christ's followers. The beast slays those who refuse to honor it. The beast, the anti-Christian world governments, it thinks it triumphs, right? But God reveals, no, here's the real picture. Those anti-Christian powers, they fail. In verse 4, I saw thrones and seated on them. Who was seated on them? Well, not the beast, not unbelievers. Seated on them in this kingdom of God were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. I also saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God. And those who had not worshipped the beast or its image, had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. These rulers of anti-Christian governments think they judge the saints of God. They slay the saints. But what does God do? He raises the dead. He brings them to himself in heaven. And in heaven, what does God do? He sets thrones for them. And they sit on those thrones. And they've been given authority to judge, no longer to be judged by the wicked. When the devil thinks he's won a victory and that the children of God die down here, God shows, devil, you have not won. Because he causes those who die in the Lord to come to life and reign in life with Christ in heaven. You see, God reverses the situation. He exalts the humble. He lays low the proud. The devil, that ancient serpent who exalted himself, is bound to put in the bottomless pit, and lowly saints who do not worship the beast, but who worship God, we, though oppressed, we are exalted. Now, this coming to life is not when our physical bodies are raised from the dead and reunited with our souls. That will have to wait until the very end. But a time where our souls, severed from our bodies, are taken up into heaven, there to reign with Christ in peace and joy until the time of the second resurrection. The time when our earthly bodies, and for those who aren't members here at Dutton, there's a cemetery just over there, so I often point that way. When those bodies will be raised, reunited with souls and believers forever, will live with our Lord in the new heavens and new earth. And that blessedness is reserved not only for martyrs, certainly it is for martyrs, that is, those who die because they are confessing Christ and will not yield. But it's for all those who have entrusted themselves to Jesus, all those who belong to Jesus, body and soul, in life and in death. But the latter part of verse 4 indicates that. They are those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. Instead, they worship God through Christ. True Christians, throughout all ages, who resist giving allegiance to the Antichrist, anti-Christian forces, beliefs, persons, systems, choosing instead to suffer affliction for a season. You, brothers and sisters, you holding fast to Jesus, you're included in this number when you die. And the Lord takes your soul to glory. And we think of the dear saints who have died. And maybe in your congregation, maybe there's been quite a few in this past year or two, longer. They've joined this number. They now stand in glory as we sing around the sea of crystal, robed in white apparel, washed in Jesus' blood, taken out of tribulation, death, and Satan's hand. They, all believers who have died, have come to life and reign now with Christ. They have the blessedness of that first resurrection. In verses 5 and 6, the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. Blessed and holy are those who have part in this first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who die in the Lord, whom the Lord takes to be with himself in heaven, who are absent from the body but present with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this is for you. For those who entrust themselves to Jesus, you have a glorious inheritance awaiting. Inheritance the world cannot touch, cannot dispossess you of. no matter how great its hatred of you is. Young people, the world tempts you to sin. Never forget who you are in Christ. Never forget this big picture and the glory that awaits those who resist aligning and accommodating and accepting that which is opposed to Christ. Live by faith, not by earthly sight. Live by Christian faith. What Christ has done, this kingdom He has brought that you are a part of. We confess that Christ ascended into heaven. And we are always to think that out and live that out. Those who pass through the first death and are brought to life, the second death has no power. The second death, that's when the wicked will be thrown into the lake of fire. It has no hold for those who are declared blessed and holy. And in the final judgment, that will be open for all to see. Until then, the priests of God, they reign with Him for 1,000 years. They don't have to wait till that final day for blessedness. But God gives it the moment we pass from this life. Through death. And so we understand this wonderful chapter that Jesus bound Satan. His life, His suffering, His death, His resurrection. And that's going on now in this millennium, the time between Christ's ascension and the second coming. Christ is reigning. The souls of all Christians who die are taken at death into heaven, where we reign with Christ until He comes. Can rest assured that when Christ comes again and judges all people, we will not be condemned. But we will be having our bodies raised and reunited. And we will live together with our Lord. Brothers and sisters, that's your future because Christ is reigning now. The future for all those who entrust themselves to Jesus. Be comforted. Be encouraged. Don't live by sight. Don't get discouraged by what you see going around. The hatred, the sin, the despair that so many have. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, for you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain, because He is raised and He is ascended and He is reigning. And you will reign with Him. Thanks be to God. May God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You have exalted Jesus to Your right hand. What a blessing. Jesus, You have bound the devil. You have brought us into Your kingdom. We await the fullness of that kingdom. Keep us faithful to them. May we not be discouraged. May we not be deceived by what the world says and threatens yet. But You have enlightened us. May we hold fast to that truth and walk by faith and not by sight. May we hold fast and not give in to the temptations to blaspheme, the temptations to walk away from Christ. Strengthen us for that. May we be encouraged. Keep us faithful to the very end. And then have us reign with Christ in glory. We pray in Jesus' name.